All right, so the whole idea of Martin Luther and his 95 Theses is he wanted to start a conversation. He was not looking to start an entire revolution. Instead, what he wanted to do is he wanted to start a conversation so that there could be changes within the Catholic Church. Okay? He wanted to start a conversation. He was not looking totally to reform it. But when Martin Luther puts the 95 Theses up, he's going to upset most of the Catholic Church. And what he's going to do is the area that Martin Luther lived in was a place called the Holy Roman Empire. Okay? We look at it today, it's like modern Germany. But the place where he was at was called the Holy Roman Empire. And at the head of the empire was a Catholic leader by the name of Charles V. Charles V. And what we're going to see is Martin's 95 Theses is going to upset the empire. People are going to begin to start questioning the Catholic Church. And well, Charles was a good Catholic emperor. So what Charles does is he calls Luther for a meeting. But it wouldn't be world history if we didn't change the name of a meeting. The meeting is going to be called the Diet of Worms, spelled worms like the little guys in the ground. The Diet of Worms. Diet simply means meeting. And at this meeting, Charles looks at Marty. You think he called him Marty? He probably can call him Marty. He's the emperor. He can call him whatever he wants. But he asked Marty, Marty, you're causing problems in my empire. You're making people begin to question authority. They're going to question the church. They may start to question my authority as well. So I'm going to ask you to take it back. Come out and say, whoops, my bad. Sorry, didn't mean it. Martin Luther says, no thanks. I'm not sorry. I'm not the one that has to apologize. If anyone has to apologize or to make amends, it's going to be the Catholic Church. So despite being asked by the emperor to apologize, he says no. Now, usually, if you go against the emperor, what do you think is probably going to happen to you, Spiewak? Death, and it's not going to be fun, right? They'd be fun for the spectators, but not for you.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, I'd be writing some of this down, not just listening to the story, Mr. Gosden. I'm just making sure. I know I'm a good storyteller, but you want to be taking notes as well. Now, when Martin Luther leaves, many people expect that, well, he's probably going to get off or something's going to happen. But what we're going to see is that there's going to be many princes and people who are responsible for the northern half of the Holy Roman Empire who are going to offer Martin Luther shelter and protection, protect him from the emperor. Because remember we were talking about cause of the Reformation yesterday? Martin Luther is looking at attacking church abuses. These princes up here, they're not so concerned with the church abuses. They're looking at the political and economic things. Okay, if we protect Martin Luther, and maybe he comes out against the Catholic Church, maybe we can benefit both politically and economically. Yes, sir?
Who's protecting him?
These northern princes in the northern part of the Holy Roman Empire. Yes, sir?
Oh, he is a criminal to the emperor?
He's a criminal to the emperor, but he's going to find protection. Okay, he's going to find protection. So he will not be persecuted, he'll not be kind of thrown in. Well, because what we're going to see is eventually they're going to break away. They can benefit by challenging the Catholic Church. Yeah, politically and economically. Apple?
He gets protection from the north.
Yeah, from the northern part of the Holy Roman Empire. He gains protection from the northern part of the Holy Roman Empire. Now, what are the core tenets? Because what's going to happen is eventually Luther's going to be excommunicated or kicked out of the Catholic Church. And what he's going to do is he's going to develop his own brand of Christianity called Lutheranism. Is that still around today?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, it is still around today. And what we want to look at, what we want to say is, what was Luther's teachings? What are the core tenets? How is he different? How is the Lutheran faith different than that of the Catholic Church? First and foremost, according to the Catholic Church, you can get to heaven by faith and good works. Luther says that's fake news. The only way you can get to heaven is through faith alone. If you have faith in God alone, you can get to church. There's nothing that you can do, Zick, besides take notes in this world history class that you can do. But instead, you just by faith alone. There's no amount of good works that you can do. He also focuses on the Bible. He focuses on the Bible. If we need to know what the true teachings are of Jesus Christ, then we just need to look to the Bible. What does the Bible tell us? Because remember, he's challenging the church. He's saying the popes, some of the bishops, some other priests are leading us astray, not doing what we may want, you know, may really want us. They're talking about indulgences and things like that. If we're going to do something or we're going to teach about something, it's got to have a scripture purpose. I'm going to focus just on the Bible. There's no interpreting the Bible. There's no saying, well, because you're a pope or you're a bishop, you can do that. To Luther, it's the Bible alone. We got to look at the Bible. The final thing is, you know, he changes certain practices. He allows priests to marry. Remember, he's a former Catholic priest. Guess who he marries? Former Catholic nun. Allows priests to marry. Gets rid of saints. Some of these different ideas. Gets, you know, the biggest one he gets rid of? The sale of indulgences. Probably the biggest challenge or the biggest change is he gets rid of the sale of indulgences. Mr. Gosden, you have a question.
Yes. Did he allow the nuns to marry?
He did allow the nuns to marry. There's no more celibacy. They now can marry. So Luther's big teachings, first and foremost, you can get to heaven through faith alone. If we want to know what the true teachings are of Christ, we're going to focus on the Bible. There's not going to be any interpretation from a pope or anything like that. The pope no longer really has a say in the Lutheran church now because we're separate. Then the biggest thing is going to get rid of like the sale of indulgences allows the priest to marry. And as we kind of looked at, the spread of Lutheranism is going to be rather large. One of the biggest reasons why Lutheranism will spread is because of the printing press. He's able to get these pamphlets, his ideas out there, and be able to spread them very quickly. Think about it like Twitter, gentlemen. If Ariana Grande sends a tweet or she puts something on Instagram, that's going to go out rather quickly, right? That message is going to be spread out to millions of followers relatively quickly, correct? The printing press was the Twitter or Instagram of the 1500s, gentlemen. It's a way to get your message out there very quickly. I told you that Luther also found assistance from northern princes located in the Holy Roman Empire. Assistance, support. The emperor is not going to kill me. Many northern princes will adopt Lutheran's faith. Many northern princes will adopt the Lutheran faith because they're going to be able to take care of, or they're going to be able to take control of Catholic Church lands and some of the taxes that people pay. So we look at it. Luther is going to bring about the Protestant Reformation to the Holy Roman Empire for religious reasons. These princes are going to bring about the spread of Lutheranism for political and economic reasons.